How do people know we are Christians? Think about it. It's by the love we show to one another. I'm Brian Patrick. We're beginning a brand new series we're calling Marks of the True Christian based on Romans 12. Genuine love, hate evil, love good, this time on Crossing the Goal. Grateful to be starting a new series on the marks of the true Christian, and I'd like to reintroduce you to our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries, the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Curtis Martin is our fullback and our coach, the former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach. Danny Abramowitz, great to have the team back together, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Was that fullback crack something about my weight?
No, you're just the big guy that can get through the line. All right, so this is the first in a series of several shows on the marks of the true Christian. Peter, this is based on Romans 12.
Well, it's really another series that focuses, you might say, on dimensions of being a disciple. Paul's convinced, and he's trying to impart to us that same conviction that says, Jesus Christ has done something in your life. He's imparted to you a power that renders you, makes you capable of living a whole new way of life, to go from point A to point B, to produce radical change. And so what Paul does in this passage is he starts to list that change and how we're supposed to live and what the Lord wants to produce in us.
You know, part of that, I'm excited about this whole series, but part of this is to look at the principle that it's not just we're going to make some minor modifications. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that when we're Christians, that the old man dies, says the old things pass away and behold, new things come. We have to recognize part of this process is not just incremental improvement. We have to die to ourselves and let Christ live through us.
Good, guys. Several things now. All of us were made good. God made us good inside, but original sin entered in, and you know what happened with that? Corruption, evil enters in, the battle between love and evil and good and hate and all this kind of business. And that's what we're gonna sort of go over here, how we're gonna have a struggle. It's an ongoing, everyday battle.
All right, so the first in this series is genuine love, hate evil, love good, and Peter and Curtis have a game plan for us next here on Crossing the Goal.
Back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. And our theme today is flowing from Romans chapter 12, verse 9. We're talking about genuine love and the importance we're told in the scriptures to hate evil and to cling to what is good. And Peter, this kind of strikes me because we're taught from when we're very young that God is love and we're supposed to love. Love is so important. Is it ever appropriate to say that God hates something?
Yeah. Well, the word hate here means like to resist, to fight against. And it's important for us to be able, genuine love is directed toward fighting evil as well. Yep. It doesn't respect, it's not attracted to what's gonna harm us, what's gonna hurt us in some way. So it's interesting, scripture talks very clearly in Psalms, it says, Psalm 97, the Lord loves those who hate evil. Mm-hmm. The Lord loves those who hate evil. It says in Proverbs chapter 6:16, there are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes.
So pride.
Lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that makes haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord among his brothers. So first, just take a look. It's shocking when you hear it. These are the six things the Lord hates. You know, in the Proverbs, the wisdom, this is wisdom from God, the Proverbs, and saying, we're giving you some insight into what God is like. God does not like these things. He's coming after these things. He's resisting these kinds of things. And these things dwell in our hearts.
That's why we have to be told that he hates these things, because otherwise we might actually do these things.
Yes. And he sends his son to deal with this, the sin-sick condition of our heart that somehow is an affection for these things. I like to lie, or I like to cheat, or I'm directed toward lust. We have something in us that loves what God hates. And the Lord, in his compassion and his mercy, doesn't hate us, but he hates the work of sin in us. He knows how objectively wrong it is and how it's hurting us, and he sends his son to come and give us a new heart, to teach us how to love what he loves so that we can live with him forever in love.
Because as Danny said in the kickoff, because of original sin, our hearts are broken and they actually are inclined to love things they ought not to love.
Yeah.
And so we have to be reminded by revelation about how to think about things clearly, and then we need divine grace so that we can actually execute what God wants us to do. We can actually live the way we're supposed to, because we're overcoming that brokenness. And I think people are sometimes surprised that it's not enough to do what you think is right. In fact, Scripture in the book of Judges tells us something very interesting. It says when a culture is about to collapse, it describes the culture in a very interesting way. It says everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if everybody did what was right in their own eyes, wouldn't that be good? No, because our eyes look at things inappropriately. We have to be healed and restored by grace.
And we see through the heart. There's something wrong with our heart. We talked about having a sin-sick condition of our heart, that the Lord wants to deal with that. And he promises in the Old Testament as well, I'm coming to give you a new heart. It's all about the Lord making us capable of living with him in love. And what he says is a healthy heart loves what is good. God reveals to us what is good, and a healthy heart resists and does battle against and wars against evil. And the best condition we can be in is to say, Lord, you know my heart better than I do. Lord, reveal the condition of my heart. What is it that I love, that I'm attracted to, that I'm desiring, that I'm pursuing, that's inconsistent with your love for me and your call in me to live the truth?
Because, I mean, we live in a period of time right now where I think never before in my life there's a certain sense that freedom ought to be understood as being able to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
And that actually is a very broken reality. There's a word that we've used within Christianity to talk about desiring to do something that's not good for you. It's called temptation. And so we don't want to give in to temptation.
Yeah.
The very nature of understanding what temptation is that even good people who want to do the right thing, will sometimes be inclined to do the wrong thing. And so when that happens, they're being tempted. And how do you know the difference? You have to turn back to God's revelation to be able to see what God thinks about various things.
Or another common thing, it's related to what you're saying in our culture today, is that my feelings dictate. They're sort of the standard. If I feel right about something, if I feel good about what I want to do, I'm going to go do it. And it's so common for people to choose what is evil because my feelings tell me to do it. And my subjective feeling kind of, it just covers over God's objective revelation about what is good and what is evil.
And when I have this desire, you know, I want to go do something. You know, I'm married, but I've fallen in love with somebody else. I'm going to die if I don't leave my wife and go off this other person. And that's precisely the type of dying to self Christianity is talking about. We do feel like we're going to die when we say no to our inclinations. It's not actually going to kill us, but there's a death of the old man and giving life to the new man, Christ inside of us.
And people saying, I'm being true to myself. The man who's crying out, like you said, I got to do this because why? Because my feelings are telling me to do this. And I got to be true to myself and true to my feelings. And the scripture is revealing to us, and Paul's telling us, no, genuine love is to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. And a disciple pursues the knowledge of what it is that God loves, and then embraces it and seeks it with all his heart.
And then prays to God. And we turn to Our Lady and ask for help because we need the strength to do even what we know is right. Yeah. Because learning the right thing is the first step. Doing it is when we really become disciples of Christ.
Amen.
Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Great game plan. Coach, the idea of hating evil comes pretty tough for me because evil feels pretty good sometimes.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm a voice of experience about that. You know, it's going to be interesting down here because we're going to make a comparison of the love and the hate and good and evil.
It's black and white, so to speak. We're in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. right, this is where the rubber hits the road. We're in the red zone here on Crossing the Goal. We're talking about genuine love, to love good and hate evil. And Curtis, you know, this is something that we are really connecting with each of our viewers out there on.
Well, I think when we discuss this issue, so much of Christianity, there's a temptation for people who are listening to say, oh, well, these guys either think they're supermen or they in fact are supermen.
Right.
And we don't think we're supermen, and we are not supermen. I mean, this is a really difficult challenge.
Yeah.
We stumble every day, but by God's grace, we're trying to get up and keep striving and not giving up on the goal, even though getting to it's tough. I remember I was having breakfast. I meet regularly with a good friend of mine who's a business owner in Colorado, in Denver. And we were meeting for breakfast, and we were talking, and I started to share just some struggles of living the Catholic faith. And you could see he was moved very deeply, and he said, it's that hard for you? I can't tell you how much easier that makes it for me, because I thought I was the only one struggling. You're not the only one struggling. This is brutally difficult. In fact, without Christ's help, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And to be able to sit back and say, we're not here to say that we've nailed this. Just we know the goal, and the path is a path in which you cling close to Christ.
Yeah. I left my cape at the back of the place. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I went through a struggle period in my life, a hellacious struggle with evil. And as I look back, I didn't hate evil enough. In fact, as you said, Ryan, I sort of liked it. You know, it felt good, so I did it. But eventually it got worse. And what happened is I not only hated evil, I hated myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really despised what I stood for. I had no love. The love could not bear fruit in me.
Yeah.
So it was so much evil.
So your heart got hardened in some ways.
Hardened
yourself. Yeah,
Peter. It was real, and it was. I mean, I didn't know where to turn. I mean, I was really lost, a lost ball in high weeds, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us come to different points in our life. We say, you know, you just hearing the scripture, hate evil, and I said, Lord.
Yeah, right.
What's wrong with me? How come I don't hate it very much? You know, how come there's a whole lot about it that's so attractive to me? And so you can even wrestle sometimes thinking, well, I've been on this road, this path to follow the Lord for a long time, and I'm still really attracted to certain kinds of things. There must be something wrong with me, and something's not working in me. Now, to say that to hate evil doesn't mean you have to have all the right feelings stirred up all the time. Your feelings might be directed toward it, and I still desire this, but I hate the fact that I desire it is a good way to think about it. And then to say, it's not the feeling, it's the decision I make to resist this thing in me and to come against it. That's how you exercise the kind of thing Paul's talking about. So guys out there, if you feel like, oh man, I hate myself because I like these things so much. You know, you're on the way. You're just like each one of us, but the Lord's telling us, son, stand up and fight against it. That's how you exercise this hate toward evil.
Yeah, it wouldn't really be a temptation if it didn't draw us in. And that's what Satan uses. He uses something that feels good, that might look good. Until, as you mentioned, Danny, it gets us to a point where I couldn't stand myself either. I mean, the evil backfired on me, basically, the things that I was doing. And it still does occasionally. I mean, I still get drawn into that. But now I know that to be a loving brother and a follower of Jesus, that's my goal. And I don't always get it. In fact, most of the time I'm way off in the weeds, but I want to get back on that path. So I got to a point where I wanted so much to be the man that God created me to be, that I do hate evil, but it still tries to lure me in.
And it's not like a switch that you turn off.
No.
Now I love, now
it's
I hate.
It's still there.
You know, it's a
here
process.
I am.
And I look back in my life, and it's a long process. Now, there came a point where I did not want evil anymore in my life. Lord, help me. I do not want
inside
this.
Inside you said, I don't want it, but I still feel drawn to it. I'm a little scared, Lord, of how much I still like it.
It's an ongoing battle, guys. You know that. We talked about that all the time. But what happened is I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I don't want to. You give me the strength to fight this battle. And then once I turned my life over to the Lord and asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life, things start changing. That doesn't mean, now I got Jesus in my life. The devil's going to be away. No more trials. No more tribulations. No, it got worse before it got better. But I knew now I loved good over evil. I wanted good.
Yeah, I mean, to misunderstand this is to get into the goofy place we are in our culture today, where we sit back and say, well, pornography should be legal because some people want it.
Yes.
No, but the reason they want it is because something's broken inside of them. It's like
exactly.
The freedom to have an abortion. People who make the decision to have an abortion are in the midst of a crisis and are tempted to make a bad decision because they're in a bad place. We have to recognize that the devil preys upon those weak moments to get us to do something that seems easy or better when in fact it's not good in the eyes of God. And that's why we need good instructive laws to help us when we're in those difficult places. And if we don't have those, then we're kind of lost.
Yeah, I think going back to what Danny was saying here too, you made a decision at a certain point to say, I want what you essentially said, God, I want what you want.
Right. Yeah.
And I give you permission, God, to come and teach me how to love what I should love and teach me how to hate what I should hate, because I'm messed up right now. I'm all screwed up right now and I don't work right.
And we gotta,
he said, I will do it. I'm your Father. I'll give you my Spirit. You just keep saying yes to me, and I promise you I will produce this in you, because I'm getting you ready to live in genuine love.
Right.
I'm gonna make you a lover. That's what I'm trying to do if you just let me do it. But we get deceived and say, I know my life. Do I? After all these years, I'll say a sin will pop up that I'm attracted to, and I'll say, can I live without that?
Yeah, we try to.
Do I really want to live without? I don't know if I want to live without that. And I'm right back there, say, Lord, look at me. That's the best thing we can do.
Right.
Don't hate yourself. Don't beat yourself up. But say, Lord, look at me. Help me. You know.
And because inside of each of us guys out here, we have good, as we talked at the beginning of this show. Love is inside. Good's inside. Now, evil came into our life.
Yeah.
And it's there all the time. We can't beat ourselves. We can't give up. We got to struggle. We got to surround ourselves with other brothers that think good.
I found, too, that I have to offer myself good and bad to God. Because, you know, in my prayer life, I wanted just to give God the good things that I felt and the desire. But I have to lay it all on the altar and say, Lord, take all of it, the good and the bad, and please do something with this, because I can't.
I mean, you just take that Proverbs, you know, the six things the Lord hates. Sometimes I'm going to say, that's a lot. Some of this stuff's a lot like me. It appears at different times. I mean, I haven't shed any innocent blood, but I tell you what, I've sown division at times in my life. I've been haughty. I've looked down on people. I told lies and stuff like that. And I get tempted to do those kinds of things and say, wow, Lord,
I know you
fix
don't
it.
Do that, though.
Yeah.
No. That's a case study, particularly of my adolescent years.
So how do we turn, we get to the place where we know that we want to hate evil and love good. How do we begin to turn this around to where that is our focus versus the evil draw that's drawing us in?
Well, I think, you know, the grace of the sacraments is key. Going to confession, where you come to terms with the objectivity of what it is you're attracted to, and you confront it, you state it. It's huge. So you receive grace from the sacrament, daily prayer, really living in God's Word, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture cleanses our mind. It teaches us to think differently about these kinds of things and changes us. Mm-hmm. Confessing to one another, telling each other the truth about what's going on in life and who we are, with all honesty, accountability.
And hang out with other people that are doing it.
You
know? And I know as a father, I'm not just interested in trying to do this for myself. I'm also trying to lead my children. And I think one of the things that's hit us, my wife and I, is that we really have to turn to Our Lady and the family rosary, because we can give the teachings to our children. But it's going to take God to turn their heart.
Great point.
And Mary has the ear of God in a very powerful way to speak. And she has that mother's heart, even more than my own wife is a mother to our children. She is to our children. And to have that strong aid along with the sacraments and prayer.
Yeah. One of my favorite prayers is the Memorare. When we go to Mary and we say, never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession
was left unaided.
You know, all of us, that's so beautiful prayer. You say it all the time. But another thing, I think, Brian, you and I can relate to this, is to admit that we are weak, that we have
that's
our
the first
flaws.
Step.
That's the first step in anything. And then when we go humbly before the Lord, Paul tells us when we are weakest, that's when we're strongest. When I'm in the weakest and vulnerable, I go to the Lord and He gives us strength.
And He wants us to come to Him. We're going to be going to the end zone next. We have the last word from all these guys on this topic on crossing the goal.
wrap up our show on genuine love, hate evil, love good. Here on our series on Mark's the True Christian on Crossing the Goal, we have an email from Gary in Des Moines, Iowa. He says, I've never been comfortable opening up to others, especially about my dark side. I know the longer I keep secrets, the sicker I get. How can I overcome the fear that my friends will reject me if I share that side of me with them?
I think the basic thing is fear. Your fear, when you hold it within, fear, anxiety comes out. Once you get it out in the open, you'll find out that other people have the same problems that you do, and they're open to you, and they'll love you back into the fold.
Yeah, I would say make sure you have good friends to start with, and then, you know, sin is like a cockroach. It loves the darkness, and as soon as you expose it to light, particularly the light of sacramental confession, then it just evaporates. I mean, that's when you can battle it in broad daylight.
No, yeah, absolutely. And even beyond that, you know, being able to meet with a priest, sacramental confession, but maybe pastorally for a longer period of time, to be able to just let it all out and talk to him, start there. You know,
Yeah, the father of lies wants you to stay in the dark there, Gary, so put some light on it, share it, open it up.
You've got to be careful. If he does have a major problem, then he needs to go seek help, even professional help sometimes.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right, so the last word now on genuine love, hate evil, love good. Peter?
Just I want you to remember one thing, brothers, that the Lord is on your side. He's in your corner. He's fighting for you. He doesn't hate you. He hates sin at work in you, and he's coming in love to burn away and take away that sin so you can learn to love him and the brothers and sisters in your life.
This entire section is a reflection on Romans 12, which begins in verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind in Christ Jesus. And it's a choice we stand at, to be conformed or transformed. And that's not a small step. The word there for transform is the same word for metamorphosis. It's a total transformation of the person. And that's what God wants to do in your life.
Guys, do you like evil or good? Well, if you love good, then you need to bring love into your heart. And how do you do that? First of all, you got to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And when you do that and ask him to help, good will prevail.
Hey, Coach, Danny, something's missing, isn't it?
Danny, where's your hat?
What happened?
What happened to your hat?
You had your
hat. That's your stick.
Oh, yeah.
Your stick is gone.
There was some pressure on Danny not to wear the hat. Yeah. And with a head like that, I'm wondering,
I know.
No hat, or...
Maybe a bag
maybe
over
a bag.
His head.
Oh.
No hat,
back to the
bag
days of the eights.
See what I got to put up with out here, people?
I mean, you know. I'm for the bag, but anyway.
I like just the way you are, Coach. All right, a salute to our men and women serving around the world, watching on American Forces Network. And we have small group resources on our website that we want to tap into as well, right?
Yeah, you can go to our website at www.crossthegoal.com, and we have DVDs of all of our shows, and also you can download questions for yourself individually, but we push this a lot is groups in parishes. You can use this for those types of groups also.
All right, then you can also get our DVDs of this show at the EWTN catalog store. And next time, we're going to be talking about brotherly affection as we continue our series on the marks of the true Christian. For Peter Herbeck, Curtis Martin, Coach Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. We'll see you next time on Crossing the Goal. Yeah, I know. I hit a brick wall. About time you guys take your walk, all right. That's never happened.